So, back in the 70s, my dad died from what they called hardening of the arteries. This is not what we're talking about, but it's the same thing when we talk about hardening of the heart. The Bible speaks of God hardening people's hearts, several places. Primarily, when we think of hardening the heart, we always go back to Pharaoh, because it says so many times that he hardened his heart. 15 times, God refers to Pharaoh's heart being hardened, some by himself, some by God. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21, God says, "I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go." So God hardens Pharaoh's heart, but Pharaoh also hardened his own heart. He initially hardened his heart in Exodus 8 and verse 15. It says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." So God did not harden his heart at the beginning. God simply had told Moses that he would harden his heart. And as you go on through, you find out that God did continue to harden his heart. But in the initial aspect here, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. How did he do that? He chose to resist God. And how did he do that? By pride and simply by not obeying the word of God. He thought he was God. He thought he was a God that everybody would answer to him, and he need not answer to somebody else. But everything did not start and stop with Pharaoh. The matter of hardening God hardening people's hearts, it extended to much more than just Pharaoh. And I think if we'll begin to understand this, you can understand Washington. You can understand people down the street. I think there's much more of what goes on, and even we could get into demon possession and things like this, and we say, well, we don't see people, crazy and tied up in chains and stuff like that, like they did in the Old Testament or in Jesus' time when he, the maniac of Gadara and stuff like this. But there are many, I believe with all my heart, that are possessed today. And so getting into some of these things, like hardening the heart, in Exodus chapter 9, I want you to look there. Exodus chapter 9, Exodus chapter 9, and begin. Look with me in verse number 34. "And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned." All right, who did? Okay, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. He, notice, and his servants. The heart of Pharaoh was not the only one whose heart was hardened. The hearts of the normal people around Pharaoh were hardened. His servants, the Egyptians, all these other people. Pharaoh's heart, or his response to what God has done, affected the hearts and the people all around him. The people that he was subject over, the people that worked with him, his servants, his magicians, all of these people. His heart initially was the one that hardened. But as a result of what his heart, what his heart was involved in and how he responded to God directly affected his servants, those other people all around. As you see, that God ends up dealing not just with Pharaoh, but with the entire nation of Egypt. And so, yes, God hardened his heart, but he hardened his heart over and over by not responding properly to the word of God. It wasn't just Pharaoh. It wasn't just his servants. But God deals with Israel and hardens Israel's hearts. If you look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, he says, "Make the heart of this people fat." Now, that's not physical fatness, okay? He says, "Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed." I mentioned this last week. This is one of the passages that has always intrigued me, and it's repeated in the New Testament. This is not just an Old Testament concept. But God says he's going to make the heart of this people fat. He's going to harden their hearts. He says, why? "I want their ears to be heavy so that when the truth is proclaimed, they don't hear it." Oh, they hear the words, but they do not hear what is spoken. Have you ever sat down with somebody in just a normal conversation and just as normal as saying, now listen, Joe, this black Bible, he says, "No, that's not black. That's green." And you say, "Joe, listen. All the scientific evidence and all the tints and the colors and all of this you put, this is black, Joe." And Joe don't get it. Have you ever been in conversation with somebody like that? And something so simple and so straightforward that even a kindergartner can figure it out, and they can't figure it out. You say, why? Well, this is one of the reasons. God makes their heart fat and makes their ears heavy and shut their eyes lest they see. He said, that I'm not going to let them see. It's right in front of them. Anybody know what color this is? But they can't see it. "Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears." What is just obvious truth falls on deaf ears. They cannot hear. And he says, "and understand with their heart." The heart has been hardened. And even though the truth is right in front of their face, they cannot grasp it. And then he says, "and convert and be healed." And that's where I said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought God wanted everybody to be saved. Doesn't he? "Lord, not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." And he goes through this. And as I studied this out, I've studied this out for I don't know how many months and years, and I finally began to understand it myself. God does not want reformation. God does not want simply someone to become religious. God wants repentance. True repentance. God wants revival in the hearts of people. He doesn't want them to turn to a religion. He wants them to return to himself. He wants them not just to turn over that new leaf or just kind of change their mind a little bit. He wants understand. He wants them to confess their sin, recognize their sin, and turn to him and him only. And what Israel was wanting was just simply, again, freedom from Egypt. They didn't want God. They wanted freedom from Egypt. They wanted the physical relief. They did not want the spirit to deal with the spiritual problem. They didn't want to consider themselves as sinners. And as we go through this, God wants people to come to him with a broken heart over sin, and not just in order to get a blessing, not just to get healed. How many times have I talked to people in the hospital? I was so just gratified. Sharon, I visited a guy, a veteran over there that's dying. His wife come to our services a few weeks ago and sit there in the back, and we went to visit him. He's dying. He's got more problems than anybody, I tell you. But when I asked him, I said, "You ready to meet God?" He did not hesitate. And he gave a wonderful testimony of when he received Christ and why he received Christ and the whole thing. I mean, it was gratifying. Most people come, or not most, many people I've talked to say, "Well, I know I'm saved because God healed me." Healing has nothing to do with salvation. Healing is a physical thing. Well, why'd you come? Well, I had this problem. Well, that's not why we're coming to God, because we got a problem. We're sinners, and we need to be saved. And what America is wanting and looking for is solutions to problems, and they're not turning from sin. You know, you have a president that says, you know, "Boy, I'm for religion," and then turns around and cusses like a blue streak. God didn't want reformation. He wanted true repentance. Isaiah 63 and verse 17. Listen to what Israel says. "O Lord, why hast thou made us to error from thy ways, and harden our heart from thy fear?" They would not look at themselves. They would not acknowledge their sin. They said, "God, it's your fault. You're the ones that have hardened our heart. You're the ones that have caused us to sin." America is the drop of a hat. Boy, what do? We blame God. God's not the one to be blamed. It's not his heart that's hard. It's our heart. It's not, they said, "Why hast thou made us to err?" Never blame God for our sin or our hard heart. It was them, but they could not see their sin. They could not see their guilt. And last week I mentioned this fact that the problem is we can't see. You know, what used to bother us don't bother us anymore. Why? Because our hearts have become hardened. Our consciences have become seared. And we don't see our guilt. Revival is seeing yourself as God sees you and then repenting of that sin, turning to God, not just turning over a new leaf and say, "Well, I'm going to try something new." It doesn't work that way. Romans chapter 11 verses 7 and 8 says, "God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear." That's New Testament. The same thing that he did to Israel, and saying all they wanted was just the blessings. They didn't want me. In the New Testament, God says the same thing. God hath given them the spirit of slumber. God's hardening their heart. They cannot see. They cannot hear. Israel rejected God's truth, so he allowed their hearts to be hardened as a consequence of their rejection. You know, people come to church and and they hear the message and and year after year, and there's no change. And they begin to blame God whenever there's a problem. When something happens, boy, I mean, it's like the earth has just ceased to exist. I mean, God has failed. And no, wait a minute. We haven't been obedient year after year. And God continues our hearts to where we get to the same place that Israel did. And we can't see it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. Notice, they could not see. They could not hear. As you're presenting that truth, I would love to preach this whole thing at the Congress. I mean, they're not wanting to see the truth. Why? Their hearts are so hardened. People call it Trump syndrome. It's not. It's God syndrome. They don't want to do what is right. They can't see it. As much as you put the truth out there and it is so plain as the nose on your face, this is black. But their hearts have become so hardened that they do not and will not and cannot see. So not only did he harden Pharaoh's heart, but he hardened the servant's heart. He hardens the Egyptians' hearts. He hardens the Hebrews' hearts when they didn't listen to him. But God, he hardens the ordinary people's hearts, our hearts, those that reject the word of God and truth. That's why in Romans, speak, O beardless wonder. Yeah.
The verse is wrong. Why did Moses give us that decree?
Sure.
In the next verse, Jesus said, Moses, because of the
hardness of your heart. Yeah.
And then in Romans chapter 1.
That's where we're heading right now. Romans chapter 1, you're right on. You're spot on. In verses 21 to 28, the whole passage there deals with it. But it says in verse 21, they're foolish. Heart was darkened. That's New Testament. That's us. He said these people, because they rejected God's truth, it says their foolish heart was darkened. God hardened their hearts. In verse 24, he says, and God gave them up. God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Man, if you can't see this happening today, you're blind. It's no difference than the Old Testament. It's no difference than in Jesus' day. And it's exactly the same thing today. This darkening is a consequence of sin. People say God's going to judge America. No, God's already judging America. How? He's hardening their hearts. Now, you can say how he's doing that through the educational system, through the universities and all of this. And you know, we talked to a lady yesterday, my daughter, she wasn't raised this way. She went to college. And through the educational system, she rejects God's truth. And you reject God's truth, and the consequences to God's rejecting God's truth is hardening the heart. He said he gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reject God's truth, the consequences of sin. Reject God's word or God's general revelation. And God says, I'll just harden your heart. When people, you go to Africa and different places and they're worshiping rocks. They're worshiping birds and monkeys and cows and all kind of stuff in the sun. How do they do that? Because God has given his general truth, and they have not responded to that truth. They've rejected that truth, and in their own imagination, they have developed a God that they want, that will let them do what they want, and they've formed their God. And God says, you want to do that? Then you're on your own. And the consequences is God begins to harden their heart. And he goes on down. I mean, you stop and think, we're protecting murderers. Somebody rapes a woman, and they protect the rapist instead of the lady. Thieves breaking in and just mass, going into to stores and just looting and carrying on. And they stand there and don't even arrest them. Why? Because we're protecting the thieves. We are backwards. How did we get that way? By rejecting truth, and God hardens the hearts of people when we reject truth, and they will do what is not convenient. It is stupid. This doesn't make sense. Because it's a consequences they have rejected God's word. And what's he say in verse number 22? They became fools. They became fools. I don't care what degrees you have behind your name. I don't care what university or college or whatever. If you're a rogue scholar or something, whatever that means. You're a fool. These people on TV and some of these broadcasts and stuff like that, they become fools. And they stand for everything against God. And you say, how could they do that? God has simply hardened their hearts. And they have become fools. It's not finished yet. Several times God said that. I mean, that he has turned them over. And I believe when you look at Washington, you see that God has already turned these many of these people over to their own reprobate minds. In verse 21, in verse 26, in verse 28, he repeats it over and over. And all the sodomy and the homosexuality and the perversion that's going on, just like in Sodom. And yet we don't seem to recognize it. Why? Because they became fools. God's not done yet, because in the future he says, I'm going to do it some more. When you come when I've witnessed to people, I've had them tell me, look, when you guys leave, when I see you go, then I'm going to go ahead and get saved. But until then, I'm going to just party and have myself a ball. No. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 to 12, he said, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He's going to harden their heart. Why? They can't see the truth. They can't hear it. They can't understand it. It is far from them. They will never understand what's going on. God is simply going to harden their hearts. Well, I'll get it right later. No, you won't. And how many times as Christians do we sit in services and God speaks to our heart about particular sin or this or that, and we say, well, we'll not go forward. I'd be a little embarrassed to go forward. But we'll take care of it when we get home. Wrong. Because we don't take care of it when we get home. We don't. Say, how you know? I've been there. I've done that. No, you don't have to come forward. You can sit in your chair. And there's something about being public. They don't have to know your sin. They don't have to know what's going on in your life. You may be coming down and praying for a relative, praying for somebody. Brother Don, he sent me a text last night. He went back to the emergency room or the hospital there. And so I told him I was praying for you. I asked him this morning how he's doing. I haven't heard back yet. But you can be coming down and praying for that. Nobody knows what you're coming for, but there's something about making it public that it seals something in your heart. Why? Why is the world the way it is? Because they have rejected the Word of God. Why is going to church in many churches like going to a football game? I mean, seemed like the same thing. They're entertainment. That's about all it is. Because they have rejected the truth of the Word of God. It's God hardening their hearts. They can't see it. They just can't see it. They don't understand it. And when you try to explain it to them, it's all about themselves. It's all about what makes me feel good. It's what I want. It's what my desires. Well, it's too cold. It's too hot. Well, the chairs aren't quite as comfortable. You go to Africa and sit on a wooden bench for a couple hours. Tell me about uncomfortable. And they're not nice benches like you've got here in America, the pews. I mean, it's just a piece of wood. It's all about us. Well, the preacher preached too long. Well, he preached too short. Well, he didn't say this. Well, he should have said that. You know what's the problem? Your heart is getting hard. And that's a bottom line. Why do churches split? Well, its color should have been yellow. No, it should have been blue. Well, and people leave church over it. What's the problem? Hard hearts. It's hardening of the arteries. No matter whether it's Pharaoh or whether it's the servants, whether it's the Hebrews, or whether it's just ordinary people. You ever heard of a guy by the name of Karl Marx? Everybody has. Raised in a Jewish home. Converted to Lutheranism. Became a Lutheran. Became an atheist and developed communism. What happened? One stage after another, hardening his heart to the truth of the Word of God. But God gives us promises. We have help. The help that comes from God only. God gives us promises to encourage us, encourage the believers, so that we can be victorious. And in the end, be successful. We can continue to love God. We can continue to worship. We can have hearts that are full of peace and joy and rejoicing because we have responded properly to God's truth. God helps us. He goes back, we'll go back to the Egyptians in chapter 7 of verse number, or Exodus chapter 7, verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Why? That I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies. and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. God says one of the ways he's going to help us is by doing exactly what he's doing. He's hardening the Egyptians' hearts. He's hardening Pharaoh's hearts in order to bring out his army. I thought they were slaves. They didn't have an army. They didn't have weapons. And all this, they were slaves. But God says, they're going to be my army. And they're going to be my people, the children of Israel. God, the judgments were a part of God's plan. The hardening of the hearts of the people were a part of God's plan. They saw God bring the judgment, all those judgments, all those plagues and everything, putting them on Egypt. And at first, they experienced them also. But then God separated it and said, okay, all these are going on Egypt. Nothing's going to happen to Israel. And it became very obvious to everyone, or it should have, but it's still the Egyptians, they hardened their hearts. So God brought them out. They saw great things. They saw what God was doing. They saw God defeat the Egyptian armies. They saw God destroy them with the very thing that God saved Israel, brought them through the waters on dry land, and the same thing God used to destroy Israel. God didn't need an army. But God said, I'm bringing out an army. Because God was the one that was gonna fight for them. We saw God's promise fulfilled too. We saw it on the cross. When Jesus hung on that cross, suffered and died for us, and then he rose again. We have seen the promises of God that will help us, that will bring us through, that will soften our hearts, that will the heart of gratitude as we continue to focus on these things. Have you noticed how many times the preachers bring you back to the resurrection and bring you back to the cross? Because that's where the hope comes. That's where the joy comes. We see what he has done for us, just like they saw what God had done for Egypt, or for Israel to bring them out of Egypt and to bring them through the Red Sea. And as they saw all of that, yet when they got to the desert, they hardened their hearts even more. Don't be quick to throw rocks at Israel. We've seen God's hand as well. Did you really see what God has done for you on the cross? Did you recognize yourself as that sinner that deserved to die and go to hell? And then, because of that, put your faith and trust, not just reformation, not just start going to church, not just, you know, carry your Bible to church and then put it on the shelf the rest of the week. I mean, come to Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in him and have a relationship with God Almighty, with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 31, he says, now is the judgment of the world. That's what he used in Egypt, the judgment upon Egypt to prove himself to Israel. But he says now in John, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. When we see that, that will draw us to Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and as Moses was lifted up from the earth, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God has done so much and showed us so much. He says in John 14:1, one of the greatest promises, I think, for us Christians, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be, there you may be also. I go to prepare a place for you. Let that comfort your heart. Let it be your focus that Jesus Christ has promised and what he'll keep his promises. Don't let your heart be hardened. Stay close to the cross. Whenever I find myself getting out of fellowship with God, I always go back and start reading about the crucifixion. I read about the cross and what he did for me, and it just drives me back to my knees and to him. The world's heart is hardening. God is hardening their heart. I think preparing the world and America for the Antichrist so that they'll receive him with no problem. You say, won't they understand? No. Because just like Pharaoh, just like his servants, just like the ordinary people, just like Egypt, God was hardening their hearts in judgment so that now when that time comes, they cannot hear, they cannot understand, and they will not believe. Get back to the cross. Let it be that comfort. Have you seen God fulfill promises in your life? I go back and tell many stories about the mission field and everything because God so proved himself in our lives and in our ministries. It thrills my heart. And I want everybody to know what God's done. But the greatest thing, September 21st, 1975, God saved my soul. He changed my life. And I want to keep my heart soft and tender to him and for what he wants. Doesn't make any difference what we want. It's what God wants. And then let him use us for his service. Amen?